Go. Coming through. I'd like to thank Laura for starting us off this morning. Appreciate that. When Mary gives you the call and you're willing to minister like that to get our morning started, that's important how we get the morning started. And I appreciate, Laura, what you shared. Merlin, thank you for your part back there. Brandon and Justin has been a great help again this week. We were in touch with him different times, putting on the website if we have church or don't have church, and he's just been so helpful in so many ways. So thank you, Justin, for your being a blessing to this church. We counted up the reaffirmation slips of paper, and unanimously, Barry was called again for another 3-year term. And so thank you, Barry, for your service to the church. Yeah. Barry's a great encouragement to me personally. And Scott, him and myself, we're very different, and that's very good. God knows what he's doing. And so we compliment each other. So it's a good thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the life of Barry Haldeman. It's not over, Lord. You got work for him yet. But I thank you for his faithfulness and for Colleen's faithfulness for many, many years. And we thank you, Lord, for his role here at New Beginnings, for his willingness to serve as elder. I pray you continue to bless him and Colleen. Special grace on Colleen right now as she's out in the Midwest with her sister. But we thank you for Barry, and thank you for the things you do in and through him. This morning, Lord, as we look at your kingdom, the kingdom of God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be the teacher. Use my words, my mouth, Lord, to bring Jesus glory. Help us have a revelation of your kingdom and our role in that kingdom. For Jesus' glory, we pray in his name. Amen. So we're going to review a little bit from last week, and then I have some new things, of course, to share. I will say this again. I said this last week, and I'll say it again this week, that these are things that the Lord has just kind of opened my mind up to in the last several months. And so if you understand these things, great. And if you're like me, just still learning these things, the Lord is gracious. You know, that was appropriate story, Judy, for me being the dense one. I tell you what, I'm pretty thick sometimes. I never backed a new car up into a tree, but I've done some other things that are equally as dense. And so I'm sometimes a slow learner, but when I get it, I tend to hang on to it. So the Lord has been patient with me in this role here in New Beginnings, and so he's been patient with me in a lot variety of ways. But so we're looking at the kingdom of God. This is the second part of two parts. A kingdom is the king's domain or rule, and Jesus in the kingdom of God is that king. So let's go to the next one. And to be in the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. You need to be born of water and the Spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are in the kingdom of God. Let's go to the next slide. So we're going to look at several things. This is a review from last week. We learned that the kingdom of God was a kingdom that was given. God's plan was to fill the earth with the culture of heaven. He wanted the earth to be a colony or an outpost of heaven, populated with his children, created in his image, who would live by and operate his heavenly kingdom's government for him on earth in the physical realm. So he started this kingdom on earth by planting a garden, which we know this Garden of Eden, a place he prepared for his human representatives, and he gave or delegated to them the rule of this earth. He gave it to mankind. We have two scriptures. Again, Genesis 1:28 and Psalms 1:15-16. So if you have those, you can read those. Again, this is just review.
God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground."
Okay, this is also in Genesis 1:26, says the same thing. He gave man rule of the earth. He delegated his rule to man. And this is reiterated in Psalm 1:15, 16.
The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man.
And so Adam and Eve and their offspring were to rule this planet for him in his name. The earth was to be heaven on earth, filled and ruled by God's children with his nature and his spirit. God rules directly in heaven. However, on earth, he rules indirectly through his human representatives. He gave rulership to man, yet he retained the ownership. So earth was to be a direct reflection of what heaven is like in the natural realm, where heaven would be in the spiritual realm. And that was all given to mankind. So let's go to the next slide. As we know, Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled against God and his rule. What they did was step outside of his kingdom and became independent, self-governing. We don't look at it that way, but that's what they did. They became self-governing. They forfeited their rule and dominion to Satan. So control of the earth went to Satan. And that's why Paul calls him God of this world, little g God. And Jesus himself refers to as Satan as ruler of this world in John 13:31. Like God, now listen to this, like God, Satan can only rule on the earth through man. He needs our cooperation for the kingdom of darkness to be advanced. Hopefully you picked up on that. And so without Christ, we were without hope, and the rule of the earth went to Satan. But of course, from the beginning, God had a plan. Let's have another slide. And God, it's a kingdom that's been restored. God had this plan, and since he delegated rule of the earth to man, humans, to correct this and not contradict his word. This is important. God will not contradict his word. He said he's going to give dominion to man, rule to man. He won't go against his word. So he himself had to become a man and take on flesh. And through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he reestablished the kingdom of God on earth. During his public ministry, Jesus preached, taught, modeled, and demonstrated the kingdom of God. So, all who receive Jesus as Savior are in his kingdom. And as it says in Luke 17:20-21, it says, "And the kingdom of God is in us." So we're in the kingdom, and if you're a Christian, the kingdom is also in you. So wherever you go as a Christian, the kingdom of God goes. It's also a kingdom that's still coming. Next slide. It's here now, but it's also still coming. This is a mystery. It's called the millennial kingdom, when he will actually rule and reign on the earth. And we talked about different scriptures last week that deal with his millennial kingdom, the kingdom that will come in its fullness yet to come. We also learned that in his kingdom, it's upside down. It's an upside down kingdom. God chooses the weak things of this world so he'll receive glory. In the kingdom of God, he says, the greatest will be like little children. Jesus said that. Humble, trusting, and teachable. He also said, who is greatest in the kingdom is one who serves. Let's go to the next slide. So, ever since Jesus was baptized by John and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, filling him with the Holy Spirit, the earth has become a literal battleground of two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God and we have the kingdom of darkness. And mankind, listen to this, mankind has become the door through which either the kingdom or the rule of Satan or the rule of God is established on the earth. Man is an important cog in all this. Again, like God, Satan has no direct rule of the earth. It's only through man. It's only when we cooperate with him that he receives the right to rule. Same thing with God. When we cooperate with him, then he receives the right to rule and his kingdom is expanded on the earth. Jesus waited 30 years before he invaded Satan's kingdom. Why is it that he waited so long? Because he needed power. Although Jesus was God, he laid aside his power as God and became when he became a man and lived in the limitations of humanity. A lot of people think Jesus did all these miracles because he was God. Jesus definitely was God. He didn't lay aside his deity, but he laid aside his power as God when he became a man. And being God, he did not draw upon his power as God, but waited till he received the power of the Holy Spirit upon him before he could do anything. So when we say Jesus is our example, that is exactly right, because he did not do these things as God. He did them as a man full of the Holy Spirit. And so he truly can be our example. And it's after this that he invaded the kingdom. So the next slide. He invaded the kingdom of darkness. It's Jesus' ability to do the supernatural things through the power of the Holy Spirit, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to open the eyes of the blind and cast out demons, that gave evidence that the kingdom of God had actually come. He says in Luke 11:20, he says, I cast out demons with the finger of God. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. It was Jesus' ability to do these things that gave evidence or proof that the words that he preached were the truth. We learned before that there's a lot of talk these days. Talk is cheap. But to back it up with power as evidence that what we say is true is what Jesus did. And in John 10:37-38, he says this. Who has that scripture? No? I'll look it up. Okay.
Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in what I have done, even if you don't believe me. Then you will realize that the Father is in me and I am in the Father.
What Jesus is saying there, he's saying, look, I'm not just saying this stuff on my own. If you don't even believe my words, at least believe the signs and the wonders and the miracles that he's doing. That I am in the Father and the Father is in me. That these things that I'm saying is truth, backed up through those signs and wonders. This next slide. And that's what the Lord wants to happen, that we extend his kingdom, his rule, his reign on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that's part of the Lord's prayer. If it's not in heaven, it shouldn't be here. That makes sense, right? On earth as it is in heaven. There is no sickness, disease, demonic oppression in heaven. These came to earth when Satan was given dominion. It was part of the curse. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. So again, when you look at Jesus' earthly ministry, he always taught and preached the kingdom of God and brought the kingdom of God's benefits to the people. Provision, healing, freedom from demonic oppression. In Acts 10:38, Peter says this, God anointed. That's what was happening there with Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon us. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There's a connection and a link between sickness and disease and demonic activity. We tend to view sickness and disease as merely a natural thing. But there is a spiritual connect there. Oftentimes, I'm not saying every time, but I'm saying often, there are reasons that are spiritual that bring sickness. I found this to be true. I had a friend that I was praying for years. And finally, the Lord one day just said to me, Mike, it's not physical. I'm like, what? It was. It was a spiritual root that had to be dealt with. And when it was dealt with, healing manifested. It's amazing. But Jesus preached and taught this thing we call the kingdom of God and brought about the kingdom's benefits to the people everywhere he went. And that's what God wants for us, his children. And there is a link, and we're going to be learning about this with Cleansing Streams, between the spirit, soul, and body. There is a link. They're intertwined, and one affects the other. There's nothing that just is by itself. So spirit, soul, and body. And he wants us to be free in all those areas. He wants us to be blessed in all those areas. Not just spiritually in our spirit, but in our soul, which be our mind, our will, and our emotions. He wants us healthy there, and he wants our bodies healthy too. In any kingdom, listen to this, in any kingdom, the standard of living of the servants is a direct reflection upon the king. We see this in Solomon in 1 Kings 10. He was visited by this Queen of Sheba. She was told about Solomon and his kingdom and how great he is and how wise he is, and she came to check it out herself. When she saw his wisdom, the wealth, his palace, and the standard of living of his servants, she said this, happy and blessed are your servants. She saw that. It was a direct reflection of him and his kingdom. And when she saw it all, there was no spirit left in her. Basically, she was breathless. That's how the people should see us and the quality of our lives reflecting the kingdom of God. They should say, I want some of that. Who wouldn't want to be living under Solomon during his, how much more when the King of Kings and his children? So this was Jesus' main purpose for coming to earth. Yes, he came to die in our place, but his main purpose was to reestablish the kingdom of God. And he says this in Luke 4:43. Jesus says, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Unfortunately, much of the church today has reduced it just to the good news about being born again. And yes, being born again is very, very important. That's how you enter the kingdom of God. But Jesus only mentions being born again one time, and yet if you read through, like I encourage you to do this last week, read through any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, you're going to find he talks about the kingdom of God all the time. There are over 100 different references to the kingdom of God in the Gospels. Now, let's go to the next slide. New beginnings. This is our vision statement. Continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think the Lord was gracious when we started New Beginnings, because I don't think I understood, and I'm still learning the ramifications of what all this means. But what I'm sharing you now has great ramifications for what God has in store for us as a church. And this vision statement still fits. Doing what Jesus did, not just preaching, but all of it. It's like, how in the world are we going to do that? That's our next slide. How do we do this practically? Go ahead, Justin. Well, first off, we have to absolutely know and understand from the Word of God that Jesus wants his ministry, all of his ministry, to continue today. Preaching, teaching, and helping people know the King and bringing them into his kingdom and being ready to exercise our delegated authority and use his power to rout out the enemy as he directs. He's not giving us a blank check just to go down the streets of Philadelphia and just minister to anybody in Jesus' name. But he's given us each an area of influence that he has assigned to you within his kingdom. Fathers of households, that's part of the area that he has assigned to you for his kingdom. And anything that's there that's not in heaven, as it should be in heaven, then that needs to be corrected, and you need to come against that in the power and authority he gives you. We each are delegated a certain part of that kingdom to function in. Maybe your place of employment, wherever you're at. That is the place he's given you to do this. So, being ready at any moment to exercise that authority he's given you. The world needs to hear and see the complete ministry of Jesus Christ. Talk is cheap. There's lots of religions saying a lot of things, but where's the evidence? Jesus and his ministry always backed up his words with spiritual signs to confirm the truth of his words. Matthew 9:9-8. Who has that? Okay.
Matthew 9:1-8. And Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed to the other side and came to his own town, Capernaum. And behold, they brought to him a man paralyzed and prostrated by illness, lying on a sleeping pad. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven and the penalty remitted." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man blasphemes. He claimed the rights and prerogatives of God." But Jesus, knowing and seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil and harbor malice in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven and the penalty remitted,' or say, 'Get up and walk'? And in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins and remit penalty." He then said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, pick up your sleeping pad, and go to your own house." And he got up and went away to his own house. When the crowd saw it, they were struck with fear and awe, and they recognized God and praised and thanked him who had given such power and authority to men. From the Amplified.
Okay. What Jesus was doing here, he was forgiving this man's sins. He was, and they questioned his words, right? What did he back it up with? A miracle. So they knew that what he was saying was the truth, and that guy's sins were actually forgiven. In this case, his sin was connected to his physical thing. Not all sins make physical problems, but sometimes there are. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "For the kingdom of God is not words, but power." Dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from that Greek word. So Jesus preached and demonstrated the kingdom of God. This is review yet. He sent out 12 disciples, his 12 disciples, to do the same exact thing that he did in Luke 9. He says, "Preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, and cast out demons." And then in Luke 10, he sends out 70 more. Same instructions. "Preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, and cast out demons." And they came back, and they were all excited because God had been doing these awesome things in and through them. And this is what it says in verse 17 of Luke 10. See if I can get there. Nope. I had the wrong one. At any rate, they gave this report about even demons are subject to us. And then in verse 20 of that same chapter, Jesus said, rejoice in his spirit. It's the only time it says he does that, when he saw that the kingdom of God was being established on the earth. Finally, he himself was doing it. He sent his 10, he sent the 70. In Mark 16, he commissions us all to preach the kingdom, to reestablish his kingdom on earth. He says, preach the good news, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And in verse 20, it says, they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming their word through accompanying signs. Amen. That's pretty much our review. Let's go to the next slide. So we need to know that this is what God wants to happen. He wants to reestablish his kingdom on earth through you and me. Now, this book here and this man, Alan Vincent, he is apostle for not just Effort Community Church, but for HarvestNet Ministries, which is hundreds of churches. He serves as an overseer, apostle for all of those. And he wrote this book called Heaven on Earth, Releasing the Kingdom Through You, Releasing the Power of the Kingdom Through You. I appreciate it, Alan, so much. I've read this book, and I'm not kidding you, four times. And I was still learning things the fourth time. It's just like dense sometimes, but I get there. Alan says in his book, our primary job on earth is to work together with the Holy Spirit to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. You have to give a small portion of his story here. By the way, there are five books over there on the counter. This book, free. Take one, each household. Take one with you. I already gave one to the elders in Glenn, I believe. But the rest, please take one for your household. Back in the 1960s, Alan and his wife, Eileen, were called by God to go from Great Britain to India to plant a church in Mumbai, India, which is now called Bombay. And while he was there starting this church, a man came out of nowhere, and he believes it was an angel. He says this in his book. This is from his book. He said this, quote, this is the message from God. You must see the kingdom. You must believe in the kingdom. You must preach the kingdom. And you must forcefully advance the kingdom. Then you will see the glory of God come to your city. And he said, then the guy left. It's like, oh, he really believes it was an angel. He said, he went to the Lord, and this is Alan's quote again, God began to show me a new way. What the scriptures really said in a new way, what the scriptures really said and meant. I realized how much of my past teaching I had to be undone in order to receive the new and more accurate truth that God was giving me. So Alan did as he was instructed, and in time, his church started to grow. And it turned into a living, powerful, and effective church. Miracles began to take place. Demons were being cast out of people, and people were being physically healed, and they were preaching the gospel to the people. He says they were no longer a traditional, respectable Baptist church, but were a lot more biblical, is what he says in his book. It all started with just himself and his wife, just the two of them. They would meet and pray for the church, the city, and they would shout loudly, declaring the lordship of Christ over the city. Can you imagine this man and his wife, just the two of them together? New people started to come, and the atmosphere was changed, and the Spirit of God fell upon all who were present. In 4 years, they planted several new churches. Several churches in 4 years. Now, 40 years later, there are between 4,000 and 5,000 churches that have been planted in that city alone. 4,000 and 5,000 churches. Through this start of Alan and his wife. Catholics, Hindus, Muslims being touched and brought into the kingdom of God. He says this, It only takes a few people who get the revelation of the kingdom, who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, to do a great work. I was preparing this message. I got this word from the Holy Spirit. This is a now word for the new beginnings. Like, this is something for us for now. And he wants us to get a revelation because of what is coming up, which I believe and sense is this call to minister at Teen Central in Mannheim. When I was preparing these messages, that wasn't even on my radar. Cleansing streams was something the elders had been talking about for a little bit too, and it all just seemed to come together like this right now. So this time in March and April coming up, I believe, is a time of preparation for us that God is getting us ready for this new chapter, I believe, for new beginnings. And he's the one that put this all together, because these messages and cleansing streams and everything else all just, I was like amazed by it all, truly. It was God's timing in all this. And so this understanding of the kingdom is very important. Let's go to the next slide. I'm just going to touch on these. These, I think I have 7 points, but these 7 points are not all-inclusive, but I believe there are some things we needed to think about. The second thing needed to advance the kingdom of God and to do what God is asking us to do to extend his kingdom is to realize that it's impossible in our own strength to do what he's asking us to do. I mean, let's face it. I, in myself, cannot heal anybody or cast out demons by myself. You can't do it. The sons of Sceva tried that, and it didn't work out so well, did it? It ended up bloodied. But we're not by ourselves. We have the Lord with us. Jesus himself waited 30 years to advance the kingdom of God. He waited because he knew he needed the Holy Spirit upon him in power. He says this in Acts 1:8 to his disciples. Who has Acts 1:8? Seth, thank you.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth.
Thank you. Jesus is telling his disciples, you know, you need to wait to receive the same power of the Holy Spirit that he had upon him. Jesus called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can call it filled with the Spirit, same thing. This is what Jesus is doing now. This is his ministry now. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John said he would be. He said, I baptize you with water, but one is coming greater than me. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus did not baptize anybody with the Holy Spirit while he was on this earth. But when he left, 10 days later, there in the upper room, it started. And it continues. Not all Christians are filled with or baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but he's not necessarily upon you. There are several scriptures that talk about Christians that have the Holy Spirit in them, but not upon them. We're going to look at one. This is Acts 8:14 to 17. Just one example to show you that, yes, indeed, here are these believers. They believed in Jesus. They were baptized with water, but the Holy Spirit was not upon them yet. So just go ahead. Acts 8:14 to 17.
Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of the Lord, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit.
This was so important that Peter and John left Jerusalem and came to Samaria. It was a trip, probably a 3-day trip to get there. It was that important that they wanted those people to be filled with the Spirit because they hadn't received it. Now, I'm not going to go on about this, but to do this, to extend the kingdom of God without power, it's not going to happen. It's futile. So I'll let you do some homework on your own about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Next. We need a lifestyle of personal intimacy with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to know and hear His still small voice. We need to be able to sense His leading and His directing, His promptings. Jesus Himself is our example again. He would get away from the crowds and commune with His Father in desolate places often. It says He went into the wilderness, sometimes all night in prayer. We need that connect with both the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next. Along with the personal intimacy, we need to be totally surrendered to the Lord's will. Jesus was so effective, not because He was God, but because He totally surrendered His humanity to the will of the Father. Did you hear that? He totally surrendered His humanity to the will of the Father and completely was cooperative with the Holy Spirit. That's where we miss it. We have flesh on, and we're not always in that place where we're always cooperative and always submitted to the Father and His will. That's why Paul says, I die daily. It needs to be a daily surrender. If, that's a big word, isn't it? If we daily surrender our lives to the Lord, we too will be used to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. Paul chose each day die to himself and fully surrender to God. We must get to the place, and I'm saying this for me too, for Mike. I must get to the place where I believe that it's good to have no rights and believe that it's much better for me to be ruled completely by God. In time, you and I will learn to love it and not only not want to waste any time or any single day by missing out on God's purposes and plan for that day. Jesus said this in John 15:16. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father, of the Father in my name, He may give you. He wants us to be so fruitful, extending His kingdom, but it happens only when we surrender. As I was going through this list too, the Holy Spirit said, can you see this, Mike? This is all stuff we're covering in Cleansing Streams. I'm like, oh my goodness. That's right. This is one whole session is about committing everything to the Lord. It's like, wow, Lord, You're so good. Next one. Know that any talk about the kingdom of God is talk about war. Kingdom talk is war talk. It's a spiritual battle against Satan and his demons. Ephesians 6:12. Barry, I think, has this. Seth.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness and in the heavenly places.
Paul says it this way in Romans 8:37. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We have become spiritual warriors. There's a new song out on the radio right now about warrior. Some girl sings it. I forget what it's called, but it's about being a warrior. Because there's only one way to advance the kingdom of God, and it's by force. Listen to Matthew 11:12.
From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it.
Read that again. Listen to how this is. We have to take the kingdom of God by force. This is the fight we're in here. It's a real fight. Listen to this scripture again. Thanks, Angie, for reading it twice.
You're welcome. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it.
As I read that and was preparing this message, the Lord said to me, Mike, you remember the prophecy from Harvest Net. About 4 years ago, I was at Harvest Net, and they said, anybody want personal prophecy, come and receive personal prophecy. So I went. David Whistler was the one who prophesied over me with some others. And he gave me this nice prophecy saying I'm a cannonball. I thought, why can't I be a golden retriever like Barry? Why must I be a cannonball? I didn't like that. I went to the Lord about that different times, and I said, what is this cannonball stuff? I think I'm starting to understand why he wants me to be like that. No one likes a cannonball. They're not warm and fuzzy, are they? They get in your face sometimes. Tim, I shared this with him once. He says, Mike, you have a steel head. He's called me that, steel head. I said, thanks a lot, Tim. He says, no, you just keep battering, ramming it in there, and you're going to break. There's going to be a breakthrough. I said, okay, I get it. But again, who wants to be called a steelhead? It's not exactly nice. Okay, let's go to the next one. So we're in this battle. To advance the kingdom of God and to see it manifest in others, we need faith. Boy, do we need faith. There is a big difference between the prayer of hope and the prayer of faith. James 5:15 talks about saying that the prayer of faith will save the sick. Save, sozoed, healed, deliver, make whole. It says will save or heal the sick. Real faith is based on God's promises in his word that have already been provided. Our faith brings what has already been provided from the spiritual realm to the physical realm and lets it manifest. It's not like we're creating something. Our faith does not create anything. It's already there in the spirit realm waiting. Our faith is that bridge that brings it to the physical realm that it manifests here. And that's what God wants. I used to think our faith moves God. Like, if I have faith, it'll move God to do something. No, no, no. God has already moved. Our faith simply takes what he has provided and brings it here. Faith and the kingdom of God are inseparably joined. Alan Vincent says this. This is a quote from him. We need to deal with our chronic unbelief. It took me several years to realize it wasn't God's fault or lack of unwillingness on his part to do his works. The problem was simply my unbelief. He goes on to say this, quote, Western Christianity is loaded with terrible unbelief. It's supposed to be normal in the kingdom of God for signs and wonders to be taking place. Could you imagine Jesus, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, just walking around for weeks doing nothing supernatural? No. And it should not be the same for us. End quote. And then he goes on to say this about an example of lack of faith. This is a quote again from Alan Vincent's book. When most Christians get sick, their first thought is to go to the doctor and get medications. Now, he's not going to say there's wrong with going to doctors, but he's saying the first thing we do is go to doctors. He says, why? Because we don't have faith or believe that he has already provided the healing. Now, I'm not saying this to belittle anybody because we all go to doctors, but he's saying, don't go there first. I have provisions made for you. But I'm not saying not to go to the doctors, and Allah would not say not to go to the doctors. Doctors are a blessing from the Lord, and so are medicines. But he's saying, come to me, ask me, before you do some of the others. This is what he also says. He says, make a decision to believe every word in the Bible is true. Obey every command, claim every promise. We can't show God to be the God of the impossible until we are in an impossible situation. He says, regardless of the delay, lack of physical evidence, counterattacks of the enemy, adverse situations, persevere until there is full manifestation of God's word. He said, we need dogged perseverance. And he gives a testimony of himself. He had this problem with his nose that kept bleeding for 12 years, I believe. And it would bleed and bleed and bleed, and he gets so weak sometimes that he couldn't even stand up to preach. He says his wife, when they would travel, she'd have to carry the bags because he was too weak. And he was praying that God would heal him. and praying that it would manifest in his body, healing from this thing. And he says, as they're ministering to people there in the little town, the city of Mumbai, that the Hindus would come and say, let us pray to our Hindu gods to heal you. He says, oh, Jesus already healed me. He's provided for me. He says, but you're so weak, you're sick, and blah, blah, blah. One day, totally healed, no problems ever again. He said that was his fight of faith. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take for some things. It's a fight. And that's why he's saying we need dogged perseverance. Number seven, lastly, we need to watch what we say. Our words are powerful. Our words are either advancing one of two kingdoms. Think about this. There's not much neutral territory. We're either advancing the kingdom of God or we're advancing the kingdom of darkness through our words. I'm going to give you an example out of Matthew 16, 13 to 23. It's an example of Peter, who the Lord speaks to him and he advances the kingdom of God through what he says. And then the very next moment, the enemy is speaking through Peter again. So let's listen to this here. Matthew 16, 13 to 23.
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of freedom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns."
This is a sobering thing here, this scripture to me, very sobering, because at one moment, Peter is given revelation from the Father that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he speaks that truth out. He was speaking out what God had given him. And in the next moment, the next breath, Jesus tells him that I have to be crucified and be raised on the third day, and he says, no. And Jesus knew who was speaking through Peter. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. But he knew who was the source behind what Peter was saying. His words was Satan's words. That's why he said that. And so, what kingdom are we advancing with our words? In Matthew or Mark 11, 22, and we're wrapping this up here if you're wondering if I'm ever going to get there. It says this about words. "For have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," we're just supposed to speak to the mountains, us. He says, whoever, that's us, says to this mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, and whatever he says, he will have whatever he says. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So what we say is important. So my question is this: what comes out of your mouth? Are you speaking faith? Are you speaking scripture? Are you speaking doubts and unbelief? What comes out of your mouth? What kingdom are you advancing through your words? And Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the things that come out of our mouths are indicative of what's in our hearts in abundance. So are your words faith-filled, scripture-backed words, or are your words doubt and negativity? Whatever you sow, you will reap. Sobering stuff. And we're going to be looking at words when we do cleansing streams as well. So, again, I believe these couple of months coming up here are a time of preparation for us as a church. So from mid-March to beginning of May, we'll be doing the Cleansing Streams teaching. And you can put that up, Justin. Go ahead, next one, too. And these are the topics we're going to be hitting and touching upon. Followed by the retreat in May. If you've never been to a retreat, please, please try to get there. Mark this on your calendar to try to carve out that time to be there. I've been to three of these already, and they've been so life-giving for me personally. Different layers that the Lord works in your life. And so this is where we're going, and God has great things in store for us, but we need to be ready because this is a real fight we're in. And we need to be prepared for it. And this will help us be more prepared. Even if you have done it before, we need to be reviewing these things. I need to be reviewing these things and be reminded of these things that are coming. And it's an exciting time we're living in here, particularly in New Beginnings. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to come back here to reestablish the kingdom of God on earth. Thank you that you want it to be on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us understand these things. Help us to be filled with your Spirit. Help us to be walking closely with you. Help us to watch what we say. Help us to commit our lives to you. Help us to be vessels that you'd be pleased to work in and through to bring your kingdom to the lost of this world. Not just the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, but Lord, when you prompt us to step out in faith, to pray for somebody to receive supernatural healing, or Lord, if we perceive that there's demonic influence, to bind it in Jesus' name and to cast it out, Lord, these are things that we're going to have to learn. What a blessing it is for people to be free and to be part of your kingdom. We thank you that we are in your kingdom. So guide us in the days and weeks ahead, Lord. I pray you'll continue to lead and guide us and direct us. You have been so faithful. Thank you. You said you would build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Thank you that you are doing that even as we speak. So as we go today, Lord, I pray that we would go in your power, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to close again with this song from Ren Collective. I know it's a little late, but
come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom. Unleash.
your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Darkness fear. Show your mind.